worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda, because their merciful qualities are so great that they can make even birds and beasts cry. What to speak of human beings? Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jarikanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted man will be melted. Pasana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. But Lochan Das Thakur regrets that he is entrapped by sense gratification. He addresses himself, "My dear mind, you are entrapped in this sense gratification process, and you have no attraction for chanting Hare Krishna. Since you have no attraction for the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, what can I say? I can simply think of my misfortune. Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, is punishing me by not allowing me to be attracted by this movement." So, Parama Karuna Pahundu Ijuna Nitai Gaura Chanda Parama Karuna Pahundu Ijuna Nitai Gaura Chanda Sabhavatara Sarasri Romani Kevala Nanda Kanda Sabhavatara Sarasri Romani Kevala Nanda Kanda Sabhavatara Sarasri Romani Kevala Nanda Kanda Baja baja bhai Chaitanya Nittai Sudvita Biswasa Kori Vishaya Chariya Sirase Majiye Muke Bolo Hari Hari Vishaya Chariya Sirase Majiye Muke Bolo Hari Hari Deke Ore Bhai Jibu Vanena Emana Doyola Dato Pasupa ki jure pasana vidare chuni jara guna gato. Samsare maje rohi re koriya se pare nahi lo aso. Apana karma bunjaya samana kaya lochana dasa. Sam parma karma pahundu ichanda nitai gaura chanda. Parama Karuna Pahundu Vijana Nirtai Gaura Chanda Lochan Das Thakur. Actually, Lochan Das Thakur appeared In 1523, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was already in Puri and had already taken the sannyas, so he's like second generation. And Lochandas Thakur lived in Bengal. He was the disciple of Narahari Sakar. You know, in that song we sing for the Gauranga Artik, Narahari Hari Kari Chamaradulaya. Narahari was one of the close associates with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lochandas Thakur, and he was a musician, although in that song he's offering a chamara fan. But he was known for his very nice bhajans. So Lochandas Thakur was very attracted to him as a young man, and Narahari Sakar taught him many different bhajans and instructed him to write songs and glorification of Lord Chaitanya. So he wrote this song. He wrote several books, although he wasn't really a prolific writer. His writing is considered extremely attractive because it's so simple, but yet it imbibes great feeling and thought, like this Parama Karuna, Pahun Dwijana, or Sabha Avatara, Sara Sri Romani. Out of all the avatars, Sabha Avatara, Sara Sri Romani. Sri Romani means the topmost jewel. These are the topmost jewels of all the avatars of the Lord. So, and it's very easy, attractive Bengali language. It's not real complex, difficult meter or difficult concepts and thoughts. So his writing became very appreciated by people in Bengal. And what happened was that when he was not even 20, Narahari Sakar told him to write a book about Lord Chaitanya based on Murari Gupta's Chaitanya Charita, which is a book about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Navadvip. Obviously, still living in Navadvip and Mayapur in Bengal were many devotees who had had association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his younger pastimes prior to his taking sannyas and leaving. So Lochandas Thakur would hear from different devotees, and he had some books that different people had wrote, and he wrote a book called Chaitanya Mangala. Vrindavan Das Thakur's book was also called Chaitanya Mangala. So as these books got copied and propagated, it was confusing. Somebody said, oh, did you read in Chaitanya Mangala? Blah, blah, blah. And the person said, no, I didn't read that in Chaitanya Mangala. What book are you reading? Because there was two different books about his pastimes. So apparently, from the history that I read, Raghunath Das Goswami, Kasisvara Pandit, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Vrindavan even had copies of these books. And they decided that Vrindavan Das Thakur's book should be called Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Lochandas Thakur's book would remain Chaitanya Mangala. So just to give a little taste of his writing and his mood, this particular part that I chose from his Chaitanya Mangala is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is it quite a lengthy book, nice book, Mahanidhi Swami had it translated and published. And it describes very sweetly these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his youth. So when Vishwambar returned from Gaya after performing his father's funeral rites and different Shraddha ceremonies, that's when he had met Iswara Puri and was starting to exhibit more love for Krishna and chanting and going to Srivast Thakur's house. This went on for several years, and then he became more and more absorbed, desiring to take sannyas. And he discussed this with some of his friends, some of his associates. Thank you. Naturally, small village, word started to spread that Vishwambar was thinking to take sannyas. And these words through the airwaves came to Mother Sachi's attention. And she was heartbroken. And she approached her son and said, what is this that I've heard, that you're taking sannyas, that you're going to leave Mayapur and Navadvip? She said, my Prabhu, my husband, has already left. You have just come, you, you, you perform that ceremony. My older son, your older brother, has left. I'm all alone with your beautiful wife. Why you take sannyas? Everybody loves you. If you leave, we'll all die. What will happen? I will die. I'd Advaitacharya, he'll die. Vakrishvara Pandit. These people won't be able to exist without your association, without your presence. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to pacify and instruct Mother Sachi, told her the story of Dhruva and how Dhruva Maharaj was actually encouraged and enthused by his mother to go to the forest, to renounce this life of materialistic attachments and search out the Supreme Lord. So he went through this whole explanation, very detailed, of explaining to her, and then he quoted this verse by Dhruva. O Lord, who have a lotus navel, this was after Dhruva had attained perfection and was in the audience of the Supreme Lord. O Lord, who have a lotus navel, if a person happens to associate with a devotee whose heart always hankers after your lotus feet, seeking always their fragrance, he is never attached to the material body or in a bodily relationship, to offspring, friends, home, wealth, and wife, which are very, very dear to materialistic persons. Indeed, he does not care for them. So he used this story to show how Dhruva's mother actually helped him attain a higher plane and Krishna by her instructions. So he's saying, please do this with me. What was her reaction? This is by Lochandas Thakur. After hearing Lord Vishvambhar tell the story of Dhruva Maharaj, Satyamata said, oh, wonderful, golden boy, I will go with you too and spend my days discussing Krishna Katha. You will leave my home and shave your head. I will also shave my head, cut off my hair, put on a mendicant's earring, and wear the red cloth of a renunciate. In this way, as a yogini, I will travel with you. Gauranga became perturbed to hear Satyamata speak like this. The omniscient Gauranga, the darling son of Sachi, thought how to pacify his mother. Lord Gauranga said, please, mother, listen to me. Don't be disturbed over meaningless miseries. Repeatedly, I've told you not to pay heed to greed, anger, false pride, and illusion. In reality, who are you? Who is your son? Who is your father? Why do you lament over these false designations of yours and mine? Who is a woman? Who is a husband? The only real shelter is Krishna's lotus feet. Lord Krishna is the only father and only friend. Krishna is the absolute Lord. He is the supreme treasure. I'm telling you this truth. Without Krishna, everything is useless. In a moment, this temporary material existence, which is full of danger, can be extinguished. Appreciating the rarity of human birth, one should serve Krishna and get freed from Maya. These bodies are meant only for serving Krishna, and by doing so, one attains salvation. Simply by loving Krishna, you will become freed from the cycle of birth and death. Mother, if you had offered all the affection to Krishna instead of me, you would have received much benefit. He is the real friend and well-wisher, and he is the real mother and father who gives only pure love for the lotus feet of Krishna. My heart cries in separation from Krishna, falling at your feet. I'm praying you, mother, you should have showed so much love and affection throughout my life. My liberation will guarantee your liberation also. Please give up your affection for me and serve the lotus feet of Krishna. I must take sannyas in order to attain love of Krishna. Then I'll take the treasure of Krishna prema to different countries. Other mothers' sons bring the transient treasures of gold and silver, which simply cause misery and death. Enjoying wealth and opulence is not the goal of life, but I will bring the topmost treasure of Krishna prema. Love of Krishna is eternal and is imperishable in this world and the next. Feeling surprised and shocked, Satyamata just stared at Gauranga's face. The Lord of the 14 worlds then removed her Maya covering. Suddenly, Mother Sachi saw all living entities equally. At once, her illusory mentality of thinking Vishvabhar to be her son disappeared. She realized he was Krishna. She then saw him with a sham complexion resembling a fresh rain cloud. He wore bright yellow cloth and held a flute in his hands. In his threefold bending form, he stood in Vrindavan, surrounded by the gopa, gopis, and cows. Sachimati became astonished to see her son like this. Her body shook and erupted in horripilations. Despite all this, she couldn't give up her affection for her beloved son. Remind anyone of another pastime? No? Mother Yasoda, when she looked in Krishna's mouth, very similar thing. She saw the whole universe. She thought, who am I? Who is Nanda? Why am I in this illusion thinking like this? And then all of a sudden, that whole mystical experience, her motherly love overwhelmed it. And then again, she saw her little boy. So in the same way, Mother Sachi had that moment where she saw him as Krishna and then comes back to this. And Mother Sachi thought, I am most fortunate to have Krishna as my son. My son Krishna is the rarest person in the universe. Nobody controls him. Then Mother Sachi said, O son, you are the supremely independent Lord, the jewel among men. It was my fortune to have you grow up under my care. Now, as per your sweet will, I know you will take sannyas, but still I wonder, why am I losing such a great treasure like you? Saying this, Sachimata's voice filled with pity, and tears fell from her eyes in streams. Although she tried, Sachimata could not speak due to her choking in emotions. Lord Gauranga had bent his head down in compassion for his mother while she spoke. After hearing her loving sentiments, he raised his head and said, My dear mother, please listen. Because of your pure love for me, I grant you the benediction that you will be able to see me whenever you want to. Sachimata simply stood there and sobbed in grief. With a heavy heart, Lochan Das describes this pastime. That's beautiful, devotee, huh? Sweet. Jai. Jai Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So today we're reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 9, Lord Chaitanya's Travels to the Holy Places, text 261. Shravana Kirtana Hoite Krishna Haya Prema Se Panchama Purusartha Purusartha Simha Shravana Kirtana Hoite Krishna Haya Prema Se Panchama Purusartha Purusartha Simha Shravana Kirtana Hoite Krishna Haya Prema Se Panchama Purusartha Purusartha Simha Shravana Kirta Haite Krishna Haya Prema Se Panchama Purusartha Purusartha Simha Shravana Kirtana Hayate Krishna Haya Prema Se panchama purusartha purusartha simha. Ladies? Shravana kirtana hoite krishneha ya prema. Se panchama purusartha purusartha simha. Shravana kirtana hoite krishneha ya prema. Se panchama purusartha purusartha simha. Shravana kirtana. Hearing and chanting. Paite, from Krishna unto Lord Krishna. Haya, there is prema, transcendental love. Say that panchama purusartha, the fifth platform of perfection of life. Purusha artera simha. The limit of goals of life. Before we read the purport, Madan Prabhu, can you go back to text 255, and we'll just read the verses up to this to try and put it into context, what the conversation's, how it's developing. Madhya Leela 9, 255. No. 255. Sorry. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling now. He's come to Udupi, which is the Madhvacharya Sampradaya, of which we are part. So what we're discussing here is... how can we be part of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya and have a different opinion, a different tattva, a different understanding of Shastra than them? How can you have a different opinion than your guru and be in his line? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking with one of the head. In Udupi, there's the main temple. I think everybody knows the story of how Madhvacharya, we spoke a few weeks ago about it, how Madhvacharya got that deity from the boat coming from Dwarka. That deity is the main deity in the town, just like in Jagannath Puri. There's one deity, main deity. So in Udupi, there's one main deity. In Vrindavan, there's all kinds of deities. There's no real main deity in Vrindavan. There's seven main temples. But in Udupi, there's the main temple. And when Madhvacharya lived 800 years ago, he administered, he set it up an administration where there are four different mutts and eight different sannyasis who administer the temple. Each mutt takes 2 years and does the service during those 2 years, and then another mutt takes over. And then another mutt takes over 2 years after that. In the Radharaman temple, they have very similar, because there's so many devotees and generations of people that are worshiping the deity, they have a very strict schedule. During the time when you're not doing the puja, you're raising the funds and getting ready for the time when you are going to do the puja. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Udupi, he's speaking with one of these head acharyas of the Sampradaya about their philosophy. And this is their conversation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I do not know very well the aim of life and how to achieve it. Please tell me the best ideal for humanity and how to attain it." Can anybody tell me another place where this question is asked? Excellent. Ramananda Roy, another one? Since we just read it out, we're doing a Srimad Bhagavatam online study series. And the first question that the sages of Namasaranya asked Suta Goswami is, what is the pumsam ekantata shreyas? What is the ultimate benefit for people in general? How do they attain it? What do they do? So this is a question. The word, I looked it up in the story of Ramananda Roy also, sadhya. It's the aim, the goal. If you're going to go someplace, you have to know the goal. Like when you get in your car, say I said, okay, go to the drugstore. And if we went around the room, some people would probably go to Walgreens and some people would go to CVS. Although they're both drugstores, they're a little bit different. This is what's going to happen in this conversation. Although it's a right answer, it's not the one Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts. The Acharya replied, when the activities of the four castes and the four ashrams are dedicated to Krishna, they constitute the best means whereby one can attain the highest goal of life. When one dedicates the duties of the Varnashram Dharma to Krishna, he is eligible for five kinds of liberation. Thus, he is transferred to the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. This is the highest goal of life and the verdict of all revealed scriptures. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, according to the verdict of the Shastras, the process of hearing and chanting is the best means to attain loving service to Krishna. This process entails hearing, chanting, remembering the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of, and the entourage of the Lord, offering service according to time, place, and the performer, worshipping the deity, offering prayers, always considering oneself the eternal servant of Krishna, making friends with him, and dedicating everything unto him. These nine items of devotional service, when directly offered to Krishna, constitute the highest attainment of life. This is the verdict of the revealed scriptures. And then the verse from today. When one comes to the platform of loving service to Lord Krishna by executing these nine processes, beginning with hearing and chanting, he has attained the fifth platform of success and the limit of life's goals. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Everyone is after success in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately merging into the existence of Brahman. These are the general practices of the common man. But according to the strict principles of the Vedas, the highest attainment is to rise to the platform of Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text 2. Dharma protita kaitavyutra paramo nirmat saranam satam. Vedyam bhastavam atra vastu shivadam tapatayon mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Krite Kim Vaparari Swara Sadhyo Hridaya Varudya Petra Kriti Bisrushubis Tatsana. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality, distinguished from illusion, for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Srila Vyasadeva, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. This verse of Srimad Bhagavatam rejects as cheating processes all religious activities that aim at achieving materialistic goals, including dharma, artha, kama, and even moksha or liberation. According to Sridhar Swami, the material conception of success, moksha or liberation, is desired by devotees in material, by those in material existence. Devotees, however, not being situated in material existence, have no desire for liberation. A devotee is always liberated in all stages of life because he is always engaged in the nine items of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy holds that devotional service to Krishna always exists in everyone's heart. It simply has to be awakened by the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Shravanada Sudachite Karya Udoy. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22.107. When a person is actually engaged in devotional service, his eternal relationship with the Lord, the servant and master relationship, is awakened. So here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fine-tuning. One nice thing before I forget it that I read. Madhvacharya wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That Bhashya is the main teachings of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. He also wrote commentaries on the Upanishads, Rig Veda, and different articles and different things like that. He lived about 800 years ago. So, one might ask, a few weeks ago I spoke on Sankaracharya and where his position was according to Lord Buddha and the Vedas, Sankaracharya, Ramanuja, and Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya, in his line, went down to Lakshmipati Tirtha. Lakshmipati Tirtha's disciple was Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri is the one from where our line goes. He initiated maybe Nityananda Prabhu and certainly Advaitacharya. And then on and on down the line. So, and he was the one that was said to have brought this particular form of kind of prema. So what we're entering into is, did Madhvacharya preach Sudha Bhakti? He's a Vaishnavacharya. He wrote a Bhashya that's been followed for 800 years and is still followed by the people in Udupi, following this Varnashram Dharma. But what happened was that from his Bhashya, in time, gradually, it's natural. It's a natural part of this material world that when the Lord or his representative come and established Dharma, religious principles, yada yada hi dharmasya, or pratanaya saranam vinasayaka, chaduskritam dharma samsthapanathaya, to establish religious principles, that gradually what happens is that those religious principles dilute. Yoga nashta parantapra. This science as it is appears to be lost. So from Madhvacharya's teachings, although they were very strict and they had such an administration in Udupi, over 200 years, the emphasis on Varnashram had become prominent, whereas the, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing out, the focus on that aim, that sadhya, that goal of life, had become more prominent that one follow their dharma according to the society. Now, in only, what has it been, almost 40 years since Srila Prabhupada has left us, we can see that the same thing has happened in different features of our sociology. During the early 80s, there was a confusion about what is a guru, who is a bona fide guru, what is Srila Prabhupada's position in our society. When somebody becomes a disciple, who do they worship as their main person? It still lingers. Then in the 90s, there was some devotees that started to go to Narayan Maharaj and different Gaudiya Math devotees to, I think what happened was that Tamal Krishnamaraj was writing a commentary on the Brahma Samhita. And we had been going to Narayan Maharaj for years, consulting with him. Prabhupada said that was okay. And what happened was that Narayan Maharaj and Tamal started to get into some intimate discussions, and then Giri Raj and Ayodhyapati and Shivaram and all kinds of devotees started going over to Narayan Maharaj, and they were gurus in ISKCON, so it started causing some confusion there. Then in the 2000s, there was the jiva issue. Did the jiva fall from the spiritual sky, or didn't he? And now we're coming up with the women issue about the gurus. Should there be female dikshas or not female dikshas? Hridayananda Maharaj is preaching a Krishna West, and it's causing... So naturally, there are different things that come into a society and change its fabric as life goes on. Practically speaking, when Srila Prabhupada was here, his presence, his organization, his ultimate authority, you could always go and ask him the questions. He was managing the entire society. When he left, well, then everybody else is starting to have their say and their influence. Some people are very extroverted, and although they might not have the best answer to things, they're the biggest voice in the room. So people follow them. It's natural, and different things happen. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pointing out to this particular acharya that the goal of life, and each one of us, have our own responsibility. Society helps us. Certainly it helps train us and guide us and influence us. But what we're talking about is, would you go to CVS or would you go to Walgreens? Each person has their own goal that they have to find. And when you find that, oh, that's your siddhideha. That's who you really are eternally. The verse that Srila Prabhupada's referring to is Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabu Noi Sravanada Sudachite Karya Odoi. The concept is, what's that verse about? They're all fragmental parts and parcels. No, not that one. Bhagavad Gita. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manaksa stan indriyani prakriti stani karshti. That all the living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. That spiritual spark, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the flake of gold, a little gold ornament, 24 carat, is the same gold as the huge mine. The quality is the same. So each individual jiva has an inherent, it's his nature, it's his sanatan dharma, an inherent relationship with the Supreme Lord. Love of Krishna, nitya siddha Krishna prema, sadya kabu noi. It doesn't come from somewhere else. So the question is, how does that inherent, like in wood, there's fire, the element of fire is in wood. How do you get it out? Pardon? How do you get the fire out of the wood? It's an easy question. It's not a trick question. What? Right. You put another fire close to it. And then that fire lights the fire in the other fire. So when the Guru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakti Lata Beej, when Krishna sends, when one associates with devotees, Shravanada Sudachite Karya Odwai, then poof, it awakens it. It wakens it up. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying is that all these duties in the material world, you might be a sudra, you might be a kshatriya, you might be a vaishya, you might be a brahmin, you might be a brahmachari, you might be a grahastha, you might be a vanaprastha, you might be a sannyasi. The goal is not simply to do your duty according to your body. The goal is to develop that love, that inherent love. Even what was the verse that Ramananda Roy quoted? When Chaitanya, first verse was Varnashrama Vacharavata, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, what is the goal of life? And he said, to perform the rules and regulations of the Varnashram Dharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, external. Give me another verse. Does anyone remember what the next verse was? What's the next verse above? Don't just do your duty, but do it for Krishna. Yat karosi yadashnasi yajahosi dasi yat tapasyasi kanteya tat karusva madarpanam. Now, if you take that verse just by itself, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, do as an offering unto me. What is external about that verse? Absolutely nothing. It's pure devotional service, is it not? So why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? No. External, go on. Why? Because it was in context to the Varnashram Dharma. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away. In other words, all your little duties that you do according to your varna or ashram should be done as an offering to Krishna. Can you sense the difference between the goal? The goal is to do your duty or to do it for Krishna, whatever it is. Now that's the whole thing about the gopis. If you take this and run it down the line to the end, you come up with these people that are willing to give up their position as wives of another man for Krishna. That's, you take Varnashram and chuck it, because it really doesn't mean anything if the goal is to love Krishna. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing. And that's awakened by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That is the process. Back to Lochan Das Thakur. Sabhavatara sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda. Simply, joyful process. The sarasiromani, they're the topmost jewel of all the avatars, because they're bringing a process which is simply joyful. Hear and chant, dance, go to the pirate festival and chant and dance about Krishna. It's such a wonderful process. Take prasadam. And this process, it's a process. You don't have to go to the Himalayas and sit in the cold water or go down and put all this. They used to have the Kumbh Mela in Vrindavan, and they go out and put cow dung patties around them in the heat and, you know, little fires and get hot and sit there. No, simply chant and dance. And we see that people all over the world, because it's naturally inherent, even if it's wet wood, if it stays near the fire long enough, it dries out and then catches fire. So association with devotees, association with this process, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying this is the goal. Now we have a nice lecture by Srila Prabhupada, a little slideshow, where he's explaining these. I think you got to turn it off and then turn it on again. Okay. It's amazing the way Srila Prabhupada, also, just like Lochan Das Thakur, very simple language, but not some yogis and people. Bhagavad Gita has been translated hundreds of times. Maybe you can start it over again. Okay. Oh, thank you.
So I stand up. I stand so strong. Thank you.
So whenever you give class, whenever someone gives class, naturally you enter into that topic. And I just want to share that fine-tuning of the goal just helped my meditation. The goal is actually to love Krishna. And that just knowing that and focusing on that kind of influenced me the last few days. Even it's almost like a refresher course, like a fundamental. Yeah, even sometimes they have like big athletes that are like superstars, but they still have to practice the fundamentals so that they can perform like that. Same thing. Sometimes you have to get back to the basics and realize they're actually loving Krishna is the goal, and that kind of like influences what you do and how you do it. So, any questions or comments on these topics? Samapriya. Yeah, there'll be a mic.
Hare Krishna. So that's very encouraging, because in the material world, there's competition, there's people will do whatever they can to get their will fulfilled, and so we become contaminated. But remembering that the goal is Krishna, it which is not competitive, which is very personal, one soul and the Lord. To me, it feels very encouraging. It helps us to get rid of the contamination of the modes of material nature. So, thank you.
Ramanya Prabhu?
Srila Prabhupada visited the Veneswana temple. Mother Swaha was telling me this morning that she was listening to a lecture of Srila Prabhupada visiting South America, Venezuela, Caracas, Venezuela temple in 75. So Srila Prabhupada was chanting that bhajan, Parama Karuna, and he went in trance, in ecstasies. You know, he stopped chanting, and all they were looking at each other, you know, it felt like. And then Prabhupada came back and started chanting again. He was crying, chanting the bhajan. You're reading the Lilamrita there. Thing happened in Atlanta too.
Yes,
so that shows Prabhupada's pure love for Gornitai, for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes. Practically, in his presence, he showed pure love to Krishna to us in the practical way.
Yes, I tried to pick also that story of Mother Sachi and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
To show how Lochan Das Thakur, I find Bengali people very emotionally ripe. You know, they're about to burst open all the time. Sometimes it manifests in different ways. Huh? Isn't it? They're like that. So his writing is so, he's so sweet. The way he expresses, so Prabhupada reading that bhajan must have entered into that. Thank you.
Yo en Gopi Krishna de Pujaris de Brahmacharis and Yasis.
En Gopi Krishna. Udupi Krishna, yeah.
Yeah, the Pujaris are Brahmacharis first. There's the Pujaris, the standard. In Radha Raman, there's families, households.
Oh.
You know, being in Vrindavan.
Yes, and I've been to Udupi. In Udupi, yeah. We went when we were on Padyatra. It was interesting because they do a boy's chart. His astrological chart. And accordingly, they're put into a situation even from a young age, which is conducive for that. The brahmachari-oriented type people, they go into the ashram and live with the sannyasis and are trained in that line. Very, very wonderful culture. Janasmi Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, you brought up this point about you know how Madhvacharya's teachings became diluted as the years went on, and then you brought up this tendency, and you gave some examples in ISKCON where different understandings developed. So this is a big challenge, of course, you know, to how to keep Prabhupada's movement intact and as he gave it and as he wanted it to remain. How do you see that can best be done?
By hearing directly from him.
By hearing directly from him. If you look at our society, just in its sort of like objective view of it, previously when Srila Prabhupada was managing or speaking, his class was the main one. After he left, basically speaking for the last 40 years, we have situations where in most temples, they'll take one of his books. It's natural. It's not something that can be changed, really, but you read his book, read his purport, and then another devotee, either a Kanishtha or a Madhyama in most cases, all over the world in all the temples, speaks for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes on that topic. So you have a Mahabhagavata, Saktyavesha Avatar's words, and then you have somebody's understanding of those words for the next 40 minutes, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, in hundreds of temples. Naturally, there's going to be a difference. That's the difference between a pure devotee, Mahabhagavat Thakur, and us. So the way to find out what the actual, it's a very subtle, fine line to edit or to change anything spoken and existing in history. In the Madhvacharya Sampradaya or the Ramanuja Sampradaya, these are both sampradayas which have existed intact pretty much for 800 to 1,000 years. And it's because their samsthapakacharya, their founder acharya's words, still exist as the core of the teachings. Everybody else, throughout that history, throughout hundreds of years of generations of disciples and families, are all representatives of that teaching. For example, when they were on Padyatra, there was one old man, 90-year-old man, who was bringing water to the temple of Sri Rangam. And one of the devotees asked him, why are you doing that? Why don't you give your son the duty? It was the family service to the deity was to bring the water from the well. And the man said, what would Ramanuja think? It's 1,000 years after he lived. So how can our movement really make it so that everybody feels connected to Srila Prabhupada? That is my understanding of how you can keep it clean, pure.
I mean, basically what he left us was his books, which is, you know, his personal ecstasies, and his mood is very evident in that. So it's, it seems like that really is the key, you know, to have lectures. Yeah, of course, lectures.
Talking about the same event with two different interpretations of the event. That's natural. It's obviously going to happen. So you want to hear from Prabhupada? Hear directly from him. His books and his lectures are there. Spend some time. Everybody should, in this whole movement nation, feel connected and personally instructed by him. Look at people who've never met Prabhupada. And all over the world, in whatever language his books are translated in, they get one of his books. There are hundreds and thousands of examples of people who go home and read the book and transform. They get it. They hear the message from him. It changes their heart, and they follow those instructions. And then, you know, they come in contact with devotees and gradually develop. I think one of the trends that unfortunately has developed is that we've seen this in our courses. It's an interesting study. When we first started making courses in 2008, e-courses online, our tendency was to kind of put our voice and our realizations into it. It didn't take long to realize this is not what we really want to present, and it's not what people want to learn from. And we just stripped it down, and strictly Srila Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's purports, Srila Prabhupada's lectures. That transforms a person. And then what happens is a lot of them, they would come to Krishna consciousness, read the books, hear from Prabhupada, and then take initiation from someone. And lo and behold, gradually what happens is that their attention to Srila Prabhupada and hearing from him lessens. Their focus becomes slightly diverted, naturally, and they're no longer hearing like they did before directly from Srila Prabhupada. And you know, that's nature.
Might that be the error of the spiritual master to not make that connection?
I can't say from here. But obviously that's an issue.
My wonder is, you spoke of the sampradayas that have been existent for hundreds of years. I'm wondering if one of the key components of that is to have a certain succession methodology, typically an acharya system, that there's one acharya, as in head of institution, succeeding down. Isn't that the case? Whereas in our society, no.
No, not at all. They don't have one acharya. Just like I mentioned in Udupi. In Udupi, there are 8 sannyasis. All of them are acharyas.
Well, in a sense, one acharya or 8 acharyas. My understanding is that what Bhaktisiddhanta wanted and what Prabhupada wanted was different than the traditional norm of having a acharya or really some acharyas. And how the Gaudiya Math failed was they didn't have a governing body commission, which is what Bhaktisiddhanta wanted. Instead, talk amongst themselves and basically just did the same thing that we have done. You know, sannyasis falling down, not following the GBC, having their own succession of things. So our key error was to appoint not one a new acharya, but to appoint 11, or however many it was, and to have an acharya system that was different than the governing body commission and superior to them. And that's where the key error was. That against tradition, Bhaktisiddhanta and Prabhupada wanted a collaborative decision-making process that we didn't do. And that's what I understood anyway, to be the key error.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll try and keep it from tattva and siddhanta rather than management, and just say that whoever is a representative of his teachings, of the philosophy that's in the books, that has to be kept pure. That example of Sukadeva Goswami, where the fruit is coming down. Ultimately, it goes back to Lord Brahma hearing directly from Krishna. That message has to remain pure. Then the society and the bhakti remains pure. Janastani?
You were mentioning why Lord Chaitanya rejected as external Yat Kuroshi Yat Ashnasi Yat Jahosi Yadasiya. But isn't that, you connected it with the Vanasha, because it was connected with Vanasha, but basically it's Karma Yoga, isn't it?
Whatever you do, do it for Krishna.
Yeah, but I mean, you make an offering, but it's done, it might be, I'm trying to remember the definition of Karma Yoga. It's what, you've got your activities and you offer it to Krishna.
CVS and Walgreens, the motive for why you're doing the activity of Karma Yoga is so that you'll enjoy this future benefit. That's also there with Varnashram Dharma. Why are you performing? Do you want liberation? And the purport here, Prabhupada was mentioning, this is nice.
Oh, here.
One of the points by Sridhar Maharaj is devotees who are not in material existence don't desire liberation. Why would they? A person in Vaikuntha doesn't desire liberation. They're already liberated. So in the absolute consciousness, if a person's performing pure devotional service, even in this world, why would they desire liberation? They're already engaged in the service of the Lord. Whereas Karma Yoga means that this is why Narada instructed Vyas, why you're not satisfied. Because prior to Srimad Bhagavatam, there was an element of the fruit. If you do this, then you'll get this. If you do that, then you'll get this. You'll go to heaven. You'll get material benefit. You'll get a beautiful wife. You'll have good sons. You won't have bad dreams, whatever it might be. Karma Yoga means you're doing something so that you will enjoy the result of a future benefit from that action. Love is its motive is simply for the pleasure of the beloved, even to my own inconvenience. Even I'm inconvenienced, but I love that beloved and will do it for their pleasure. I'm not doing it because I want to enjoy the fruit. I don't even want them to love me back. Nothing for the self.
Two points that I thought of. One was, Prabhupada said, my credit was that I never changed anything. I never added anything. And the more that you study Bhakti Siddhanta, you say, Prabhupada, he's exactly repeating what Bhakti Siddhanta said. You read those big yellow books, and you start to see Prabhupada's doing everything exactly. So, and then he always says, what's my credit? I simply follow the order. And I was also remembering from the Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya conversation that the one that he accepted was at 10:14:3, dedicated the lives of these narrations. So, and he also pointed out that unless they have a definite idea of the spiritual world, when they're offering, who are they offering it to? That isn't been established yet, because the way that the culture was, as you're saying, is the Varnashram. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam isn't, you had to hear that. And because it says you can get as far as, I think, the Viraja River, but without having a clear understanding, and even liberation is explained it's a negative concept because there's nothing positive in just getting out of but not getting into. So one, that's why, as far as I understood, the hearing is that we're hearing how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead by this cultivation of knowledge, Supreme Lord.
Thank you. That's beautiful because it also ties in with Lord Chaitanya's explanation to the Tattvavadins. By hearing, then the goal becomes clarified. What's the highest truth from that second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam? Can anybody remember? What's the highest truth? All right. Beautiful. Yes. Reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. So it goes along right with what you're saying. I never thought of it that way. It's beautiful. By explaining who Krishna is, what the spiritual world is, then one understands more clearly who I'm offering it to and how I should offer it.
So what I meant to say is that isn't the Yat Karoshi Yad Ashnasi verse, it's Nishkam Karma Yoga. Am I correct in that? But some acharyas accept it as bhakti and some don't. That's what I was thinking about, but I didn't say it. You know.
I think during our conversation, what we're actually talking about is one's perception, one's motive, one's inner. You could take the verse and apply it to karma yoga. You can take the same verse and apply it to Sudha Bhakti. It matters, you know, like sometimes Krishna, when he says things, they're equivocal. They can mean more than one thing. So in the same way, you can take that verse and apply it in different ways.
The discussion that I've heard on this before, this is what my recollection, that when one is no longer attached to what he's doing as the offering. In other words, he'll do whatever Krishna wants. Then it moves into bhakti and out of Nishkam Karma Yoga. But in one sense, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, and whatever you give away, there's still that attachment to doing what I want to do. So it's not full on Shuddha Bhakti. That was what I was aiming at, you know, and I misspoke, you know, about Karma Yoga. But sometimes I've seen that used. It's on the yoga ladder, but there's the kama, you know, there's that wanting some of the results, enjoy the results, you know.
Srila Lotandas Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhvacharya Kidai.